So, this is my first time being able to speak and share with the news that Pastor Jonah gave last week. So, for those of you that weren't here last week or don't know, Pastor Jonah has been diagnosed with cancer. He's going through the process. He spoke about it some last week, but I just felt very led to share what's on my heart about this situation, about what I believe that the Holy Spirit's speaking to me about it. And my goal with this, I think there may be opportunity for offense. By all means, this is not what it's intended to do. There's going to be opportunity to be challenged. I haven't really talked to anybody here since it happened, so I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know what anybody else's opinion is on this. I don't. But I just felt like this is the way I was supposed to go. So I pray that you see my heart in it. Yeah. So, about a month ago, Pastor Jonah called me, talked to me, explained what was going on. Instantly within my spirit, he said, this is not how it's supposed to be. Right? I think that's all something we can easily go, well, yeah, duh. But I don't think it is that easy for a lot of people. I don't think it is. I don't think when sickness, when lack, when anything comes, I think it's very easy to just go, oh, that's just the way it is these days. Oh, well, I hope he makes it. Oh, well, I guess we'll just see what happens. I think, and like I said, I'm not speaking directly to anybody in this room. I need everybody to know that. This is just what is rising up in me and what, you know. So he says, this is not how it's supposed to be. Well, how is it supposed to be? How is it supposed to be then, right? What is it supposed to look like? Is it supposed to happen and look exactly the way I want it to look? We could apply this to each and every one of ourselves, right? Is it supposed to be this preconceived idea of, well, he chose to go through chemo, good luck? No, and we'll get there. But my point is, what happens inside of us when we hear this news, when we hear a diagnosis like that, when we hear a certain therapy that's being chosen, what rises up in you? Is it the Word of God? Is it, no, that's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. He's a child of God. He's been redeemed. He's been delivered. He's been pulled out of death. It's not right. It's not right and it gets me a little ticked off, right? I think we've all, anybody who knows him, I mean, I think anybody who comes into a situation like this where somebody that they're close to gets sick, gets cancer, whatever you want to call it, I can be ticked off. Why can't I be mad at the devil? Why can't I be mad at sickness? Why can't I be mad at death? Why can't I be mad at all these things? Right? Why can't I? But I can't let my anger cloud. There's a relationship here. I can't just go solely off the emotion of being ticked off and solely off the emotion of, oh my God, what's going to happen? What are we going to do? You know, we can really tumble here with news like this. And it doesn't matter who it's for. But what rises up in you? Do we default to the word, or do we meditate on a diagnosis? I don't care what it's called, it's been paid for by the blood of Christ. I don't care what it's called. I don't need to know a stage. I don't need to know where it is. I don't need to know it. Because it's been paid for. It's been bought with the blood. He's a child of God. So where do we go with all this? Where do we, you know, and I'm not going to sit up here and tell you, well, I just believe Pastor Jonah doesn't have cancer. I'm claiming healing. He doesn't have it, he's healed. No, he has cancer. He does. I'm not denying that he has cancer, but God, right? I'm not denying that he's going through something right now, but God. God is bigger than this. God is bigger than a diagnosis. God is bigger than a treatment. He's bigger than it all. And the sooner we just turn to God, and the sooner we turn to just walking in alignment with the choices that have been made, the sooner we see results. We're a body, right? We're a body. We're supposed to be unified. A unified body. Okay, I'll save that. So the story and the passages that came to mind are found in Mark 5. Mark 5, we're going to start in verse 33, but just some context here. So Jairus, he's a leader of the synagogue. Jesus gets off the boat, he's walking through town, and of course there's the mob, there's the throng pushing up against him, and somehow Jairus gets there, and now he's a leader of a synagogue. We know how the Pharisees feel about Jesus. This was a very big step for him because he's pretty much done as a leader in the synagogue. Because he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and pleads with him. It's amazing when something we truly care for has the potential of being taken away, how all of a sudden accolades and how all of a sudden wealth and how all of a sudden all these things that the Pharisees sought after don't really matter. His daughter was on her deathbed. And he knew, and I don't know, that there were some good Pharisees, you know, there were some Pharisees that believed in Jesus. I don't know where he stood on all that, but he obviously knew he had power. And he obviously knew he was the only one that was going to save his daughter. So he throws himself at his feet, pleads with him, "My daughter is about to die. Please come lay your hands on her, and I know she will be well." And Jesus says, "Okay, let's go." Bam. I bet he's feeling pretty good about himself. I got to him. He responded. Here we go. And they start going, and the throng is there, the people are crushing in. It's probably not moving very fast, right? And then there's the woman with the issue of blood, right? She crawls through everybody, touches his garment, is healed. Jesus stops, and I guarantee that was the last thing Jairus wanted him to do was stop. I guarantee as soon as Jesus stopped and started looking around, anxiety, fear, all those things just started welling up inside him. Like, oh my God, we can't stop. She's about to die, right? Like, he's desperate. He's desperate. But we'll pick it up in verse 33. It says, "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came..." Because Jesus calls out, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And he's looking around, and here she comes. "But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Awesome. Could preach on that, no problem, but that's not where I want to go. We're on Jairus. Verse 35, while he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? So this is worst case scenario here. If he hadn't stopped for this other person, we probably could have got to my house. He would have laid hands on her and she would be alive. But now the report is she's dead. Don't bother. So Jesus is talking to this woman, extolling her about her faith. Your faith has made you well. Get up and go in peace. You're healed, right? This is happening. But in verse 36, it says, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. And I can't stress this enough, man. When Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, whatever, speaks to you, it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. It doesn't matter what's happened. When he speaks, you take him at his word, period. In the flesh, that's very hard to do, but we don't just dwell in the flesh. There's a spiritual side of this world as well. All right, Lord, this looks impossible for you to do, but I'm going to believe the words you said. And why was it so important to not fear and only believe? Because what did Jesus agree to do? Jesus agreed to go to his house, lay his hands on his daughter, and heal her. That's what he agreed to do. He didn't say, oh, she's dead. Sorry. I got hung up there. I apologize. My bad. Nope, he didn't go, oh my gosh, this is going to get a lot more difficult now. I'm going to have to think this one. I'm going to have to go into the old prayer closet and really seek this one out. No. The request was made. And he said, Jairus, don't doubt what you requested from me. Believe that what you requested from me is going to happen. Regardless of the circumstances, it's going to happen. Verse 37. So they're at the house, and he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John. They're making their way there, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So it wasn't a secret. There was no secret as to what was going on here. She was dead. I mean, dead is dead, right? So the ceremony had begun, you know, the weeping, the wailing, everything else that goes along with death. But here's Jesus. And when he entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? He has such interesting things to say. The child is not dead, but sleeping. This was no big deal. This was no big deal. Because he knew who he was. I pictured him just going, it's okay, guys. She's not dead, she's just sleeping. Because he knew who he was. He knew the Father's heart towards people. He knows he's a faithful God. He knows he's trustworthy. He knows he's just. And does an unjust God tell you he's going to do something for you and then not do it? No. No, that's not the God we serve. We serve a just God. So the child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. I can see the eyes rolling. I mean, put yourself there. You can picture it. Somebody walks in. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. Oh, yeah, sure. Right? So what did he do? He put doubt and unbelief outside. Because what did he tell Jairus? Don't be afraid. Only believe. And if you have a bunch of people around you that are constantly filling you with doubt and unbelief, no, she's dead. Don't listen to him. She's dead. You could have had somebody there, Jairus, I was the one that checked her pulse. She's dead. And his spirit starts filling up with this doubt and unbelief. But no, Jesus said, this is for all of us, Jesus said, what did he say? What's he saying to you? What's he saying to me? What's he saying right now? Jesus said, do not fear, just believe. Man, great principle here. If there's people who are constantly dragging you down with doubt and unbelief, there may need to be a bit of a separation. I'm not saying you shun people. I'm not saying you cut off all relationship. But just like anything, healthy relationships help you to grow. A healthy lifestyle helps you to live. Right? Healthy, healthy. This was not healthy, what was going on around them. So what did Jesus do? He kicked them out. I got to get rid of this. No offense. I love all you guys, but you got to go. You got to go because I came here to do something. I came here to do something. And they laughed at him, but he put them outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, right? That's where Jairus' faith was. If you lay your hands on her, she will be healed. The woman with the issue of blood, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Jesus meets you where you're at. You don't have to be way up here, holier than thou, know everything, have the Bible memorized, forwards and backwards, be a stalwart of faith, be a preacher, be a teacher, be an evangelist. You don't have to be any of those things. You just need to believe. You just need to believe that what he said is truth. That's what you need to do. Kick out the doubt. Kick out the unbelief and believe that what he says is truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them in your truth. That was Jesus' prayer for us. John 17, beautiful, read it. Thy word is truth, sanctify them in your truth. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began to walk. For she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. The goodness of God. If Jairus just chose to meditate and think on the situation purely in a physical level, I don't believe we would have had the outcome that we had. Jairus chose to believe what Jesus was saying. Why? Because Jairus knew he was his only hope. Nobody else was going to walk in that room. Pharisee or not, he got it. Right? Because at any time he could have just said, okay, I'm done. Sorry, Lord, this didn't work out. I tried. He could have done that. But through all of this, through being stopped in the crowd, taking too long to get to the house, getting to the house. Everybody's weeping and mourning over his daughter because she's dead. At any point, he could have stopped and shut it down. Shut down what God was capable of doing. But he chose to not fear, and he chose to believe. He chose to believe that once Jesus laid his hands on his daughter, regardless, she was going to be healed. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful thought. But you look, right? If you look through the healing scripture, if you go through scripture and look at all the times Jesus healed, I don't know that one was the same. It took so many different forms and shapes. He spit on the ground and made mud and wiped it on somebody's eyes and they were healed. Right? He spoke to the leopards. Go show yourselves, you're healed. He laid his hands on Jairus' daughter. The woman with the issue of blood just grabbed his garment and she was healed. There's no set formula for this. And I think all too often we can fall in these traps, especially nowadays, because there's this aversion sometimes in the Christian world to medical help. I know there is, so don't say there's not. I know there is. Some of it's justified and some of it's not. Luke, who wrote two books in the Bible, was a physician. Did Jesus shun him and say, "You're a doctor, you're not allowed to do this"? Right? If we're honest with ourselves, and like I said, some justly, some unjustly. But is God so small that he can't take a chemotherapy and use it? Is God so small that he can't take that chemotherapy and have no horrible side effects? Is God that small? Because here's the thing, in this situation, the choice has been made. Pastor Jonah has made the choice of what route he's going to take. Am I going to stop praying for healing? No. No. But I'm also not going to pray for it. I'm also not going to say, "Oh, you're taking chemo, so good luck." No, I'm going to say, "Father, that's the choice that was been made. Use it. Use it for your glory. Use it. It's not a death sentence." Do we believe that Jonah walks through his life not listening to the Holy Spirit and not following God? Does anybody here believe that? If anybody knows him, you know that's not the truth. So the choice has been made. What do we as his body do with it? Well, I think he should have done this. And here's the opportunity. Here's the opportunity. I think he should have gone this route. I just don't think this is the right route for him to take. He should have done this. He should have went holistically. He should have done this. He should have done that. What's that doing in your spirit, and what's that doing in your mind? Is that promoting unity with what Pastor Jonah has chosen to do? You don't get to change what he chose to do. I don't get to change what he chose to do. But I can choose to come up alongside him, lift him up, and pray him through this. Amen. Right? You know, Jairus, when that little journey there started, I guarantee he expected things to go much differently. It was like, "I'm going to get him, I'm going to bring him to the house, and everything's going to be fine." He didn't expect all the roadblocks along the way. Right? But who was with him along the way? Who was the one ministering to him along the way, encouraging him along the way? Jesus was. Why? Because Jesus gave him his word. Jesus said, "Do not fear, believe." Why can't I believe, and I do believe this, and this is in my spirit, I believe that there is just going to be a powerful testimony when this is all said and done. Powerful testimony. This is going to be the kind of stuff where people can't deny what God did. They can't deny what he did because it's so amazing what he did. And when we share that with other people, they're going to go, "Oh my God, why can't that happen?" Unity within this body. We need to fight the urge. And like I said, I haven't talked to any of you, so maybe this is none of you, but maybe it's somebody you run into down the road. Maybe it's somebody you start talking to who says, "Ooh, I don't know. That sounds pretty bad." Right? Because we're going to talk to people like that. I've already talked to people like that. "Oh, I don't know. I don't know." There's more than one way to be healed. And we go, when we go down this road of, "Well, I think, my opinion is," we just can really box God in and just shut things down. Because that's not how he works. It's not how he works. He works through faith. He works through belief in what is available to us. What is available to us? We've been talking about it for weeks, his promises, his goodness. What is available to us? The same thing that's available to us is available to Pastor Jonah. We cannot go down the path of, "Well," and I'm telling you, it's easy to do. And you might, and maybe this doesn't pertain to you, I don't know. But flesh can easily be swayed. Flesh can easily be swayed to say, "Ah, that's not possible." Well, even if he does get healed, all that radiation in his body is going to come back and affect him at some point in his life. Tell me you haven't heard it. I've heard it. No. I don't care what side effects are. I don't care what they are, they do not have to affect him. I don't care. You won't convince me otherwise. You won't convince me that, yeah, he may live for a while. I know somebody very close to me. Got cancer, radiation, cancer-free, cancer's back, they die. I don't care, because I know God's word is truth. God's word is life. I don't care what the circumstance looks like. We need to come together as a body and lift him up. Regardless of my opinion, do I have opinions? Of course I have opinions. Every single one of us has opinions. Okay, I'll say it. Well, why doesn't he just believe and stand for healing? Why does he have to go this route? I don't know. Doesn't matter. It does not matter. What matters is we serve a big, big God, so big we can't even fathom. It doesn't matter what my opinion is. but my opinion can sure get in the way of effectiveness. It does not matter. The choice has been made. Lift them up. Lift them up. Period. Shut down those other voices. And if you don't think I'm talking to myself, you're wrong. Shut down the other voices. Shut down the other voices of people who want to tell you otherwise. Shut down the other voices of the people who want to run through all the effects of chemotherapy. Shut them down. Because for myself, I'm standing and believing for something much different. Much, much different. Because I serve a God who can. That's the God I serve. Circumstances don't dictate what God can do. Severity of a situation does not dictate what God can do. Going back to Jairus, what truly mattered was what Jesus said. That took him from the beginning all the way to the end. What Jesus said took him from death to life. Do not fear, only believe. What else did he say? She's not dead, she's sleeping. Do not fear, only believe. Do not fear the diagnosis. Do not fear the therapy. Because my opinion doesn't matter. There's one opinion that matters, and that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. What is his opinion on the matter? His opinion on the matter is that he loves Jonah. That's his son. Jesus Christ died for Pastor Jonah so that he might live. He has been redeemed. He has been set free. He is no longer that old man. He is a new man. He is a new man in Christ. And that body has to come into alignment. It has to. It must come into alignment. Pain has no place in the body of a child of God. Cancer has no place in the body of a child of God. You name it. I don't care what it is. It has no place. What needs to be in that place is the Word of God. What needs to be in that place is when we hear these things, something rises up and says in us, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That is not the way it's supposed to be. What he's walking through right now is not the way it's supposed to be. So how is it supposed to be? I don't have all day, but I would encourage you to seek some of this out. You know, the most obvious one, by his stripes we are healed. I do not believe healing died with the apostles. Don't believe that. There's nothing that corroborates that. There's nothing that backs that up. Jesus was talking to a leper, and the leper said, Lord, if you are willing. And he said, I am willing. When did Jesus ever say no to heal somebody? You show me one spot. Show me one spot. Not once did he say no. Not once. He was healing Gentiles. He was healing women. Oh my God. He was healing children. He was healing the young, the old, and everything in between. Everything in between. Show me where it says it. And we don't get to make things up. We just talked about this the last time I spoke. His divine power has granted us all things. 1 Peter, 1 Peter. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. What is my knowledge of him? Is my knowledge of him that he is a good God who loves me? Is my knowledge of him of he is an amazing God who loves Pastor Jonah? I love these because I remember these, my mom speaking these when I was a kid. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. We say these things and we say these things and we say these things and do we take them to heart? Greater than he who is in Jonah than the cancer that is in Jonah. He is greater. So let's stand alongside Jonah. Let's stand alongside him and lift him up. Regardless of what my opinion of the situation is. Regardless of how I feel. Jesus went around healing the sick. He commanded us to heal the sick. Like Pastor John spoke last week, like, when are we going to start doing? I prayed for somebody this week and they didn't get healed. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore. Because I need to start doing it. Because guess what? The Holy Spirit prompted me to pray for this person. So why wouldn't I? I guarantee I planted a seed of something. Of something. We don't determine if they receive it or not. We are obedient to share. That's it. That's it. That's it. Sickness has been paid for. Do we believe it? We have been redeemed. Do we believe it? We have been given power. Do we believe it? Do we fear it or do we believe it? Oh Lord, but if I go do these things that you're asking me to do, I'm going to have to interact with people. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're going to have to interact with people. I got over that a little while ago. It was tough. It was tough. I'm not going to lie, it was tough. It really hurt. Oh, did it hurt? But that's okay. Because, man, look what God's doing now. I don't know how else to say it. Look what God's doing now. Look what God's going to do in Jonah's life. See God doing something in his life. See it. I'm not talking about with physical eyes. I'm talking with your spiritual eyes. See something different than what's happening right now in his life. See it. When Jesus fed the 5,000, he looked up. It wasn't just this. Staring into the clouds. It was a spiritual thing. He looked up to heaven. He received what the Lord was telling him and the direction that was being given. Start looking up. man, we're going to see something different. Cancer is not the end-all be-all. Cancer is a curse. Cancer is from the pit of hell, and it has nothing to do with born-again believers. Nothing. Sick of it. Sick of it. Couple verses. Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. What curse should be affecting a born-again believer who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who has the same power that Jesus had on this earth? What curse can stand against that? Now, are there times where we need to be picked up? Yep. Is there times we need help? Yep. But what curse can stand against the Almighty God? There's not one. Not one. Psalm 119:38 says, confirm to me your promise that you may be feared. I like this one. Lord, show yourself mighty in this so I can share with others your goodness, your greatness, your power, your abilities. Show it. Show it. Believe it. Do not fear it, believe it. Do not fear, but believe. I'm going to end with this, and this I gave this word, two months ago. Stop waiting for what you think it's supposed to look like. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter. There is something else. There is more. There's something greater that can and should be going on right now. My challenge is that we come together as a body, we come together unified, and we lift him up right where he's at. And then we watch what God does along the way.
Read Deuteronomy 23:5.
Okay, thank you, because I can't read that far. Deuteronomy 23:5. As soon as it comes up, I'll read it. It says, but the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam. Instead, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loved you. Man, we need to know our promise. We need to know our covenant. We need to know that God is for us and not against us. We need to know that all of his promises are yes and amen. Like, we need to know this. It has to be in our heart so when situations arise, we don't balk. We just go head first. Man, we cannot stall. We cannot stall out in the things of God. We cannot stall out in the way he's moving. Because, man, then it just gives opportunity to be bombarded. Keep moving. I mean, that's a military thing. That's a Marine Corps thing. Always forward. You move. If you get stuck in a spot, you're dead. You have to move. You have to keep moving until the objective is taken over until you reach the objective. Because if you get stuck, if you get pinned down, it's not good. It's not good. It was drilled in us. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep going. One foot in front of the other. I don't care how bleak this situation looks. I don't care. It has nothing to do with what the Word of God says. His diagnosis has nothing to do with what the Word of God says. Nothing. Because what does the Word of God say about him? What does the Word of God say about us? I challenge you this week to start finding it and speaking it. Start finding it and declaring it. Because I am convinced that something different is going to happen here. It's going to be mighty. It's going to be powerful. And all the glory is going to go to God because of it. All the glory. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not. Amen. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just praise you and thankfully thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your love and mercy towards each and every one of us. And right now, as a congregation, we lift up Pastor Jonah. We speak your love, your mercy, your strength over him right now, Father. We come against debilitating pain and we say no more in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, cancer, you have no place in that body. You are cursed. You are cursed to hell. Go back where you came from. Father, we believe that your word is truth and your word is life. And we are declaring this day that we are going to stand with him. We are going to lift him up and we are going to walk this out with him, with you being in the forefront, Father. And I thank you and praise you for what's to come. I thank you and praise you for what's to come. Father, I just pray for safety over everyone here, for a blessed week, Father, and keep those opportunities coming to minister your goodness to others, Father. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.